Today we're starting a new series here at Destiny called God's Vision for Your Life. How many know that God's got a vision for your life? Do you believe that? We've been talking about how to hear God's voice for our life, how to find our destiny. Now today we want to talk about God's plan for your life, God's vision for your life. God has a plan for every one of us. God has a vision for every one of us today. And as simple as this, let's see what it is up here. God's plan for my life, God's vision for my life is simply to see us, saved, to see us healed, both spiritually and physically, to see us set free. How many of you want to set us free today? Whom the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. He wants to see us discipled, equipped with the giftings that he has for us. He wants to see us empowered, filled with his Holy Spirit, and serving, using those gifts. But many times as Christians, we come in and we kind of skip through this. We get saved, and then we jump right into serving, and we don't see that God has an ultimate plan for us. Now, there's nothing wrong with serving, but I want to say that God has a plan. God has a pattern. And if we are missing any of these areas in our life, we're not walking to the fullest of God's vision for our life. That God doesn't want you just to say a quick prayer and then to leave, but he wants you to engage in him on a journey, on a process, a vision that he has for your life. He wants every one of us to step through this process of being saved, being healed of the past hurts in our life, being healed of things that have gone on, set free, discipled, equipped, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and serving for his kingdom. And so we're going to be looking at this over the next 7 weeks. Now you know what I'm preaching every week and what I'm speaking on. And so you know ahead of time. I don't usually give you that, but now you know that. This is what's coming. Every week it's going to build. So every sermon is going to build on the last sermon, on the last lesson. So make sure you come back and hear as it builds one after another about God's vision for my life. Today we're going to talk about this first part of this vision, that what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? We're going to look today at our text in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved. That word, have been saved, through faith. That's past tense. Not that of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That we are saved only through the grace of God. None of us can boast that we earned our salvation. It's only through grace. And notice that this is a past tense to say that we are saved past tense. How many know that we are saved past, present, and future? Do you know that? We really are. We're saved past, present, and future. That our bodies are going to be saved. You realize that? My body is going to be saved in the resurrection. That my body right now is decaying. But in the resurrection, it says that we're going to receive a new body, a glorious body. I'm going to have P90X abs. It's going to be great. I'm going to jump higher than Jason Adams could ever think about jumping. I mean, it's going to be a great body. It's going to be a great body. At least I hope so. I'm hoping it's going to be a great body. It can't be. It's got to be an improvement. I can guarantee you that. We've got to improve. I mean, God's going to give me a great body, but I haven't received that yet. It's going to happen on the resurrection. My body will be saved. I know that my soul is in the present form, is being saved right now. Scripture talks about this word being saved, that we're in the form, my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions. That's what my soul is made up of, my mind, my will, and emotions. That after I receive Christ, that my mind, my will, and my emotions are continually working to making those things subject, under control, under his lordship in my life. But yet, I still wrestle with those things, so I'm learning to die to those things, and my soul is in the process of being saved now. It's a work that God is doing in me. He's doing in you. But I have been saved. My spirit has been saved. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that my spirit is instantly saved. My spirit is instantly walking in perfection according to God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. My spirit is perfected already. And so I am walking in spirit as I have been saved. So today we're going to look at this past tense of what it really means to be saved. For some of you here, maybe you think you know what it means to be saved. For others of you here, maybe you don't really have a clue. What does it truly mean to be saved? Save what? We read signs say, Jesus saves. I say pennies. What do you save, Jesus? I don't know. So we're finding out, what does Jesus really save? What's it mean to be saved? We heard that word a lot. Let's throw it out there. What does it really truly mean? So some of you here, you say, Pastor, I'm saved. Well, can you really explain it to somebody? If somebody was to ask you to explain your salvation, could you really truly explain what it meant to be saved? And so today I'm going to teach you. We're going to look at it very clearly. The Word of God is very clearly what it means to be saved. And we're going to look at God's Word and put it and apply it to our life today. So number one, when it means to be saved, it means, first of all, it's a gift. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is not a goal to achieve. It's a gift to receive. Romans 11:6, look what it says. And if by grace, talking about our salvation, and if by grace, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it's by works, then it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Kind of confusing. So let's put it this way. How many people like to receive gifts? Anybody like to receive gifts today? Anybody like good gifts? Are you sure? You sure? Anybody like really good gifts? Anybody like real? I mean, come on, someone. I need someone who really likes good gifts. Do you like good gifts over here? Come on, you guys. You don't even know what's in this bag. It might be something really, really good, and you're not even raising your hand. How many like good gifts? I mean, yeah, we like good gifts, don't we? We like good gifts. And somebody here today is going to win and get a good gift. Mike Clark, sitting on the front row, all excited. I think you deserve a good gift this morning. I'm going to give you this gift. Why don't you open up this gift and show everybody what they could have had? Show them what they could have had. iPad, yeah. Who wants an iPad, a brand new iPad? Some of you are thinking, is this really an iPad? No, it's an iPad box. But still, yeah. There's a few batteries in there. It's all right. Well, let's pretend, for the sake of pretend this morning, that this really was a true iPad that I was given as a gift. What would you do? You'd be like, yeah, Pastor Gene's the man, yeah. A free iPad. Great. Merry Christmas. Receive your gift. Then I'll walk away and go, oh, yeah, Mike, by the way, you owe me $800 for that gift. Mike's like, what? What's the deal? I give him a gift, and then I expect him to pay for it. Is that really a gift? No. If I expect him to pay for it, then it's truly not a gift. He's going to have to earn it. He's going to have to work to pay it off. And this is what the Scripture is teaching us about our salvation, that when you're saved, it's not a gift that you earn. You don't pay for it. It's a free gift that God has given for us. He does not ask us to pay for it because he's already paid for it through his Son, Jesus Christ. We realize that it's a free gift of salvation, but it's only received as a gift. You cannot earn your gift of salvation. And for many of us here, we think we can't. That's impossible. It's just too good to be true. I've got to earn it. So we get saved and we ask Jesus into our Lord, and then we work thinking, I gotta be extra good, and I gotta do all these things to earn my salvation. And that's so untrue, because the minute you think you've earned your salvation is the minute it's not salvation. Because salvation is only received through grace. It's the free gift of faith when we have our faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, it's eternal life. When we accept Jesus Christ and when the word of being saved, it means that we have eternal life. Look at Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. Talking about wages, we earn wages. For by works, we've earned sin, which is death. But the gift, which is free, of God is eternal life. What is the gift of God? Eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we've received eternity. And I want to tell you this, that I've died. Really, I have. I've died. I died to myself when I got saved. And there will come a day that Jesus is going to say to me, hey, Gene, we've lived in your house for a long time. My body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. He's walking with me. His Spirit is with me now. He's living. He's walking with me on this earth. There's going to come a day he's going to say, Gene, I have lived in your house long enough. Why don't you come up to my house and spend eternity? That's what he's going to say to me. He says, for in my house there are many mansions. If it was not so, he wouldn't tell us that. But he says, I have prepared a place for you and I. He said, I prepared a place, and it's going to be for eternity. And he's going to call me home and say, you know what? Come and live in my house now. We've been living in your house. Now come and dwell with me in my house. It's going to be for eternity. So this is the problem, that one day Pastor Gene's going to drop dead. This is going to happen. On one of these days, he's just going to drop dead. You know what's going to happen? Pastor Matt and Jeremiah are going to be fighting over who's going to be the next pastor of Destiny Church. And they're going to be arguing. I was here 2 weeks before you were. I don't know. I don't have this big argument. Anyway. And you guys are going to go, what a shame. Pastor Gene died. He was kind of boring anyways. Hey, maybe we'll get someone who can preach a little bit. I don't know what you'll say, but you're going to say Pastor Gene's dead. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's wrong. That's wrong. Because, see, when I die, I didn't die then. I died when I was 19. I died to myself and said, God, I want to give you my life. And at salvation, I died to myself and said, God, I want your will for my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. And I died then. So at my funeral, don't say I died, because I died a long time ago. I died to myself, and I'm going to spend eternity, according to Scripture, with my Lord and Savior. Now, this is the problem. How many know what eternity means? Forever. Our mind cannot compute and comprehend what eternity really means. We just can't. We just can't comprehend that. We try to think of how long eternity is, and if you can put in your mind any kind of clock at all and make it for as long as you can think, that when that clock finally runs out, eternity would have just begun. Just a breath. Our life here is just a breath compared to what eternity is for us. But the problem is this. We live our life for today. We're so worried about our own selfish things that we want. We're so caught up in our relationships, our financial issues, our problems. So caught up in our own glory that, man, we forget that, man, my life is called for eternity. That I'm called to think about eternity. What am I doing for eternity? Because this life is just a blink, man, and it's over. But what am I doing today that's going to make sure I spend eternity with Jesus Christ? What am I going to do to make sure I'm taking other people with me who will spend eternity with Jesus? It's eternal life. Being saved and salvation also is forgiveness. It's forgiveness of our sins. Jeremiah 31:34 says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember how often? No more." God's telling us that he will choose to forget our sins. Now, we have a hard time understanding this because we, as human beings, we do not do this very well, do we? You burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on who? Me. And so I don't forget. You don't forget. When someone does you wrong, you may tell them, I forgive you, but then back in your mind, what are you doing? You're still holding on. We'll see. I remember, I'll kind of forgive you, but, you know, it's going to take a while. And we hold on to the things that people have done to us in our life and the hurts, and we have a hard time giving forgiveness out. And so when Scripture teaches us that God will forgive us of our sins, we can't compute that in our head because we don't operate that way. But I'm here to tell you that God's ways are higher than our ways. What we can't do, he can do. And the Scripture says that not only can he forget them, he chooses to forget them. He says as far as the east is from the west is how far he places our sins from us when we accept him as Lord and Savior of our life. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness beyond what we can even imagine. When I stand before God on Judgment Day, and we all will, according to Scripture, we're all going to stand and have to give account for our lives on Judgment Day. None of us here, we'll get out of that. All of us are going to stand before God and have to give account for our life on Judgment Day. And when I stand before God, if I'm a Christian, am I guilty? Yes, I'm guilty. Because it says we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. We're all guilty. But I'm going to stand before the judge who is God. And standing next to me is a prosecuting attorney. And his name is Jesus. And the judge is going to say this. Let's read the charges against you. Well, you know what? I choose not to know. I choose not to remember anything here. I've chosen to forgive you. So even though you and I are guilty, the judge is going to choose not to remember our offense. He's going to choose to forgive us. He's going to choose already to give us forgiveness. That's an awesome thing about forgiveness of God. It's only through grace that we receive God's forgiveness in our life. But we realize that it also is not only forgiveness, but it's also justification. Because our God, Scripture says, is a just God. He's very much a just God, and justice must be served. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even if we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ. So if God is a just God, that means what? That he must bring justice. So how does a just God bring justice to you and I who are guilty? What he does is this. He simply does this, that God gave Jesus my justice. He gave his only son to die for us. And he gave Jesus what you and I deserved. So that when you and I believe upon his son, Jesus Christ, we confess him as Lord of our life, and we submit to his lordship in our life, he doesn't see the justice that we deserve, but he gives us Jesus' justice. Because Jesus was the only one who lived a perfect life. And so he looks and says, justice served. My son Jesus already paid that price. It's justification. When I accept Jesus, I get my sentence already. You know that? When you accept Jesus Christ, you are going to get justice. Jesus took your justice already, and you will get a sentence. But you know what your sentence is? You're going to be sentenced to heaven. What a great sentence, huh? How many know we can live out that kind of sentence? We can live out that kind of justice. He's given you and I a sentence to eternity in heaven. The fifth thing we have to understand about our salvation, it brings righteousness. What is righteousness? It means simply being right standing with God. Being in the right standing with God. Romans 4:3 says it like this. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What does the word account mean? Accounted mean? It's short for account. We know that in our account, there is sin, right? In our account, there's sin. All of us have sin. And who's the only one who lived a perfect life? Jesus. Jesus did the right thing. We didn't. So what happens is God took all of my sin and he put it in Jesus' account. And he takes all of Jesus' account and he puts it in my account. And it's been accounted to me righteousness. This is such an awesome thought because we have a hard time understanding it. Because simply it's like this, that if today if I said, hey man, there's $1 million waiting for you at the bank. All you got to go down, it's already in your account. All you got to do is go down and believe and sign the papers and it's yours. You're like, sure, right, whatever man, whatever, whatever. And we don't go down there and even check it out. We don't even believe. And so it's just sitting there. You see, for many of us, that's the way it is. God's already put into our account righteousness. But we haven't believed and we haven't stepped in and received that already. It's there waiting for us. How can that be? Because his son took our account and he traded with you and I. And all we got to do is receive righteousness through him. He put righteousness in our account. And number six, it's redemption. Salvation is redemption. Redeemed. 1 Corinthians 6:19, look what it says. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own? Look what it says. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have been bought with a price. How many know that many times we don't redeem prizes, do we? I was talking about, you know, how my parents, when I was growing up, I used to get these letters in the mail stating, hey, you've won. Congratulations, you have won. One of three prizes. First of all, you could be our $100,000 winner. Come and see if you've won that prize. Or number two, you'll win a free family vacation, all expenses paid, to Walt Disney World. Or number three, you will win a nice, luxurious grandfather clock. You're like, oh, well, you know, this ain't too bad. Even if we get stuck with the grandfather clock, this really isn't a bad thing. Grandfather clocks are pretty expensive, aren't they? If you really ever priced them, they're quite expensive. And so I remember my parents being like, all right, well, let's go check us out. It's only about a 30-minute drive. We got the day off. We'll go down there. And, of course, you go down there and have to sit through a long sales pitch about trying to sell you something. And then they say, you'll get your gift in the mail. Congratulations, you've won the grandfather clock. And you're like, oh, okay. And then, you know, a couple weeks later it goes by, and all of a sudden they drop off at your door your new grandfather clock, and it's in this box about 6 foot tall and about this thin. and it's in a million pieces, and you got to put it together. Or you try to put it together, and nothing works, and you can't get it on there. And my dad just taking a thing and throwing it in the trash. Just crazy, you know. So much for a press wood grandfather clock that won't even go together. You know, the parts all in 1,000 pieces. No one wondered they gave me things for free because nobody wants them. And so what happens for the rest of the time that when we get these things in the mail, automatically like, whatever, yeah, this is a gimmick. I'm just going to throw it away because it's not worth the drive down there to even get a redeemed prize. It's not even worth it because these prizes, you know, you win a free vacation and they give you an envelope and you open it up and it's like, yeah, but the catch is you got to pay for, you know, 5 days in advance and then they'll reimburse you after so long. It's like the catch is like, you know, it's got to be 60 days in advance and you got to do this and that. It's not even worth the money. And so we ignore it and we throw it away. We don't redeem it. Why? Because it's not worth our investment of our time. It's not worth my investment to go spend half my day going through a sales pitch I'm not interested in. So I don't redeem it because it's not worth it. The prize is not worth it. So when it says that Jesus Christ, that we were bought, that we were redeemed, we were purchased, knowing this, that God thought enough of you and I, that he purchased you and I. So every time you look in the mirror, you look in the mirror and say, you know what? Even though somebody might have told my life I had no value, even though somebody might have told you in your life you're worthless and you have no, absolutely no value, you know that's a lie because every time you look in the mirror, you realize that God has redeemed you. He purchased you. He wanted you so much that he redeemed. He sent a son to say, let's go cash in. Let's redeem. I, as a Christian, have been redeemed. And the last thing today, we know that our salvation, it's about total commitment. It really is. But being saved, it's about a total commitment to Christ. Let me give you some news here today that your salvation, that Jesus, is not your fire insurance. It really isn't. Some of us here, we pray the prayer because, quite frankly, I just don't want to burn in hell. So, Pastor, I prayed that prayer, you know. I don't mean smoke. We don't do good. So, you know, I just don't want to spend eternity in hell. So I said the prayer. You know, I did the thing because I don't want to burn. Let me say that salvation is not about fire insurance. It's really not. Even though we know it's very true, the lake of fire is a very real place. Jesus is not a fire insurance. Matter of fact, in Matthew 7:21, look what it says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father, of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I've never knew you. Depart from me. You practice lawlessness. Let me ask you this question. Where is the highest chance of these things happening? Where is the places that people are going to go around saying they prophesied in his name? Where's a place we're going to hear people saying, I cast out Jesus in Jesus' name, demons in Jesus' name? We've done wonders in your name. Where's this going to take place? All right. I mean, he's talking about the church, man. He's saying, listen, church, not everybody who thinks they're saved is saved. Just because you attend a church doesn't make you saved. Just because you thought you went through a ritual doesn't make you saved. It's about giving your heart to God and giving your life to God. So how can I know if I'm really saved? That's the million-dollar question today. I'm going to answer it for you. How can you know if you're really saved? Let me ask you just one question. Who is in charge of your life? If you can answer that and say, you know what? I've given God complete control of my life. I've given God charge of my life. Who's the boss of your life? You want to know you're saved? Then it simply is dying to yourself. Like I talked about when I was 19 years of age, I finally got it, and I died to myself. I said, God, I'm going to start a journey of submitting to your lordship in my life. I want you to be boss of my life. Yeah, it's a work, and it's still a work in progress. I'm still learning how to give him lordship in my life. But I can tell you this, that he is Lord of my life. He is boss of my life, and I'm continually learning how to give him control of my life. It's a total commitment. We talked about a few weeks ago, it's about the whole field. It's not about the treasure. It's about the whole field that the kingdom of God is like. Who's in charge of your life? I'm going to ask our magicians to come this morning. It takes total commitment to follow after Jesus. Let me tell you this right here. God will never take second place in your life. It just won't happen. He will never take second place in your life. He wants to be numero uno, Number one, he wants to be number one in our life. He will never take second place. But today, the good news is that you can give him your everything. He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Maybe you've heard that statement before. Let me say it again to you. He is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. That simply means I can't say, I believe in you, Jesus, but I don't give you Lord of my life. It's either, God, you have my whole life, or you're not Lord of my life. It's a lordship. I've given him lordship of all of my life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I just want to ask this question today. And it's the first step of God's vision for your life. It simply is, are you saved today? Are you saved? Are you saved? If not, today you can make that decision. God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to confess with my mouth. I'm going to believe in my heart. And I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to ask you to be Lord of my life today, to be boss of my life. Maybe you hear and say, Pastor, I've been going to church a long time, and I just didn't realize what it really meant to be saved. I just thought just because I was coming, I was okay. Or maybe because I went through a quick prayer, but I didn't understand it. I didn't understand really what you was talking about being saved. And today, for the first time, I'm having an understanding of what it really means to be saved. And today I realize I want to make that decision. I want to learn to give God all of my heart, all of my life. I want to lay the first foundation of being saved in my life. Nobody's looking around at all. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. No one's looking but me. But I want to ask you, if you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm ready to make this decision today. I will not embarrass you at all. I want to give you a chance just to raise your hand where you're at. Say, Pastor, today I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you raise a high at you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these people today? Thank you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Several hands going up. Anybody else today? Say, man, Pastor, I'm ready today. Today's my day. I want to give God all my life. I'm ready. I'm tired of being my own boss. Thank you. If you raise your hand, you can put it down. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Anybody else here today? Say, Pastor, I'm ready to raise my hand. It's the last chance I'm going to ask you. I haven't done it yet, but today I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Can you raise it one more time? If you haven't done it yet, let me know if it's you. Thank you. Anybody else? That's me, Pastor. I'm ready. We're going to all say this prayer, and especially those who raised your hands today. We're going to say this prayer from our heart, and if you raised your hands, I really want you to just mean it today. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. Be Lord of my life. From this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart today, we say welcome to the family of God. Yes, let's give them a hand clap. Yeah, it's an exciting time. Lots of hands. It's an exciting time. Let me tell you this. If you raise your hands today and you said that prayer from your heart, it's just the beginning of a journey. Like I was saying, salvation is not a one-time thing. It's a thing of a new journey of submitting your life to Jesus. Before you leave today, if you raised your hand and prayed that prayer, if you stop by our information booth in the back, we got a free Bible. We got some information that tells you what to do next. You need to have a church home. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. We'd love to support you and give you support around you. You need people around you who are going to help you through this journey. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close out the service with this song. And it simply says, God, Jesus, I believe with you. I believe in you with all I am. I give God all I am. See, that's what salvation is. It's about giving God all we are. With all I am, I give to you. Jesus, I believe in you. Today, we're going to lift our hands. We're going to sing the song. Let's declare it in our heart today that we're giving him everything we are. My word.
and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that
today. Declare in your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, just raise your hands where you're at this morning. You feel comfortable doing that refreshing in heaven. Father, I pray right now, God, as we lift our hands as a sign of surrender to you, Lord. I just pray that, Father, we are learning to give you total control of our life. We're learning to submit to your lordship of our life. We're dying to ourselves. That, God, your vision for my life, Lord, is so much greater than where I'm at right now. God, help us to get out of our rut. Help us to get out of the place we're at right now. Help us to see that, God, you have a greater life for us. You have a greater goal and destiny for our life. You have a pattern for us, God. And Lord, I pray today, God, as we learn to give you full lordship of our life, that, God, you are taking us to a new place of freedom. You're taking us to a new place of healing, to a new place of power, equipped by you. And it all starts right here of giving you full lordship of our life. Come on. Declare, let it ring at your mouth. this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Justin's going to come and dismiss us in a word of prayer. Let me remind you of a couple things. Those of you who got tickets tonight, go back, sure you stop by and get those tickets before you leave. I'm really glad that you're here today. We're going to be feeding the Missouri Southern basketball teams. We're going to be feeding you through those double doors to my right. We'll have dinner ready for you back there immediately following the service today. Thank you so much for being here. Justin, come and dismiss us in a word of prayer.
God, there are no words, God, that we can express, Lord, how awesome it is to be in your presence, God, here with friends and family, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you saved us. And God, we pray, God, that we would take more seriously, Lord, your salvation, God, and what it means in our lives, God. Lord, that you've redeemed us from our sins, God, that you've granted us eternal life with you, Lord. And Lord, we pray, God, that we would fall in line with your vision for our lives, God, as we go along this series, God. Lord, and as it builds, Lord Jesus, we pray that our devotion to you, Lord, would build as well, Lord Jesus. And God, we pray that you would be with us, Lord, and that you would seal this work in our hearts, God. Lord, keep it on our minds, God, actively, God, as we go throughout this week, God. Lord, that we may always remember, God, what it means to be saved and loved by you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.